Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. We are very fortunate today to have Kristen Walker, CEO of the behavioral health consulting practice, Everything EHR, with us today to discuss an aspect of narcissism, psychopathy, and sociopathy that we have yet to explore here on A Fine Time for Healing, and that is corporate narcissism, though I would guess that many of you have personally experienced this in some way. Having worked in corporate America, specifically the healthcare field, for over 25 years, Kristen found herself swimming in these shark-infested waters many times. But her experience with the topic of narcissism and NPD is even broader. Kristen has suffered the treacherous effects of narcissism from far too many vantage points. She was born into a narcissistic family. She endured painful adult relationships with narcissistic partners. She found herself surrounded with narcissistic friends and, as I previously mentioned, experienced the havoc wreaked by narcissists in the workplace. On the radio show that Kristen hosts, Mental Health News Radio, she gives voice to a variety of mental health issues, but it is her shows on narcissism, a topic that she is intimately and passionately related to, that have received the highest acclaim. Mental Health News Radio draws a global audience of over 170 countries, so you definitely want to check this out. There's some really great shows on there. So Kristen Walker is here today to spread awareness about corporate narcissism and discuss the traumas that are associated with working in these toxic environments with these empathy-devoid people. I am so excited to hear what Kristen has to say, and I'm sure you are too, so let's get started. Now it is my privilege and honor to introduce you to my very special guest, Kristen Walker. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Randy. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It was certainly a pleasure, and as I just told you, our audience on Mental Health News Radio has certainly benefited greatly by what you had to say on our show.
Well, thank you, and I thank you for being here today. This is, you know, this topic has generated a lot of interest. And like I said, it's something we really haven't talked about here on this show, so it's really important. Can you explain what corporate narcissism is?
Absolutely. And I want to point out to everyone that I am not a clinician, but I do have clinicians, mental health clinicians that work for my company. So anything that I'm saying is coming from my personal experience, you know, having over 1,000 clients over the last 25 years.
Okay, thank you.
Corporate narcissism, in my experience, is when a leader of an organization, it can be a leader of an organization, is using their corporation to feed their narcissistic tendencies. and that can be used to combat their feelings of unworthiness at home, because a narcissist is not just a narcissist in one area of their life, they're a narcissist in all. But it can also, not only can it be the CEO, but it can also be a worker in the organization that is causing, you know, toxic, narcissistic patterns throughout an organization. And because they're so skilled at throwing the blame onto other people, even a CEO, you know, can have a hard time figuring out who actually is the real culprit of the behavior.
Okay. How prevalent is this?
Oh, my gosh. I think everybody, every single person, at least in the United States, probably the world, can say that they, if they've ever had a job or multiple jobs, that they've worked with someone that has narcissism or narcissistic personality disorder. So it's that prevalent.
Okay. Well, that's very prevalent. What is the difference between working with somebody that has it and having the head of the company be a narcissist? Is there a difference?
There is a difference. I say there's really no hope when it's the CEO of an organization, because they're certainly not going to fire themselves unless it's a public company where there's a board involved, and a board can root out, you know, who's causing destruction and disaster at the company, and, you know, unseat the CEO from their own company. In those cases, there's hope for an organization. But when it's a coworker or workers in an organization, you know, that has a healthier possibility of being rooted out and discovered, because that person can be terminated from employment. But the difference between the two is who has the most power. Clearly, the CEO of a company has the most power in an organization because they are the owner.
That's really scary. That really
is
scary. And I mean, would you say that most of the CEOs of the major corporations in America are narcissists or psychopaths or sociopaths or whatever?
You know, I'd be hard-pressed, to, you know, since I'm not a clinician, to diagnose any of them, but I would say many have high levels of narcissism, which, you know, can be used to their advantage. I mean, there are things about, you know, healthy narcissism that pushes people to strive to achieve beyond, you know, what other people can achieve. But when it dips into it being an actual personality disorder, that is someone that is, takes active enjoyment in destroying other people's lives, destroying their self-esteem, there's a difference there. So many of these, you know, CEOs that are very successful, that have high levels of narcissism, high levels of unhealthy narcissistic behavior, but they aren't taking pleasure out of trying to destroy their employees, their staff, their families. You know, those can be some very successful people out there.
Right. What kind of, can you give us examples of, or an example of what kind of trauma an employee or a partner would experience when you work with a corporate narcissist?
Absolutely. Employees will, you know, work overtime to please a narcissistic boss who can either, you know, verbally, if it's an overt narcissist, they, you know, verbally demand that someone works overtime without being paid. Or if it's a covert narcissist, this is someone who is very hands-free and they get their staff to be a flying monkey. They get their staff to constantly, different people in their staff are manipulated to be the voice of this CEO so that they can keep their hands clean. I know this is a very harsh example, but think of Charles Manson. I didn't do anything. The women that were my followers did it. It was of their own volition. Well, he was sent to prison for life because of what he did. So these covert narcissists are almost more damaging than your overt ones. At least with the overt ones, you can see the grandiose behavior right in front of your face. You can listen to the, you know, the Donald Trumps of the world and know what you're dealing with. But when you're dealing with a covert narcissist, they're usually having their employees do their dirty work for them. And the havoc that wreaks on their staff is mental illness, suicide, loss of financial, loss of their finances, loss of their self-esteem, loss of friends and coworkers, disbelief. There's so much victim shaming that goes on. So the abuse that is suffered at the employees or the person being abused is horrendously traumatic.
Yeah, I mean, covert narcissism is definitely, it's so destructive because because you can't identify it so easily. You just, you know how horrible you feel, but you can't identify exactly what's going on. And that would be covert narcissists in the family or relationships or whatever. So I could see where that would be really, really damaging. You know, it's interesting. My sister years and years ago worked for a dentist, and the dentist presented himself as being very, very open. And he would have these kind of bull sessions where he would get all the employees to sit around and tell their deepest, darkest secrets. And he thought that he went under the premise that that was very healthy for them.
Yeah.
But then he had all the ammunition. You know?
Absolutely.
And that's so dangerous. So dangerous.
Absolutely.
So when you deal with these kind of people that are sneaky, they can really ruin you.
Absolutely. They absolutely can. And I've been in situation after situation with these kinds of bosses. I had a medical doctor that played with me against his office manager, giving me raises, giving me gifts, moving me up in the corporation, knowing that I was friends with this person, just to make her feel bad about her position in the organization, and then, you know, invited me into private discussions with him where he was grossly inappropriate, and this was a married male. And the moment that I said, no, this is not going to happen, then I became the target, just like other people had, and you know, a friendship was almost lost over that. It took us years to figure out who was actually the problem and then come back together and repair our relationship after what happened. And in the end of that work experience, she sided with her boss, and she ended up having to sue him for thousands of dollars and for the abuse that she suffered. And that's when she came to me and said, I am so sorry that I didn't believe you. But that
years later.
I just walked away from that situation and moved on to, you know, learn this in my own experience elsewhere. I didn't learn how to actually stand up for myself and learn what this is until I was in my early 40s, and I'm only 45. So I know the behavior very well now, and now I have the language behind it, which is very powerful, and it's why I tell people education. Educate yourself about what this is, because you already have had a lifetime of experience that you just don't know about. Once you add the education to it, now you have power.
That is so well said, Kristen, and I agree with you. The knowledge really does bring this out in people. They do. People do not realize what they've been exposed to, because it is so confusing, and it doesn't. It boggles the healthy mind. It doesn't jive with us, and it's very interesting.
Well, you're 1 foot in cognitive dissonance and 1 foot out. I mean, on the one hand, you want to believe, because a healthy mind wants to believe when someone is telling you something to your face, and maybe there's tears in their eyes, and maybe they're throwing religion out, well, Jesus says, or Buddha says, or whatever, you know, whatever ways that narcissists abuse and manipulate, and you absolutely, your healthy mind is trained, because that is the way our brains are wired. Our healthy mind is trained to believe what is coming out of that person's mouth, even if their actions say otherwise. And it makes us feel guilty and tainted to not believe them, because we have a healthy mind. And the reality is, the only way to survive working with these kinds of people is to constantly tell yourself, no, that is a lie. No, that is a lie. Follow the behavior. Follow the behavior, not what's being told. That's the only way to do it. But that puts us out of congruence with our natural tendencies, which is why this is so difficult to root out and why it is so difficult to get out of these situations or survive them and prepare yourself to get out of these situations.
You are absolutely right. Wow, you said that so well, Kristen. So if you're, you know, if you find yourself in this kind of situation, is it best to leave?
Well, here's what I say on that, and I'll get a little woo-woo. You know, the great thing about people with narcissistic personality disorder is that I absolutely believe from a spiritual perspective that they are here to teach us about our own wounds. So while yes, of course, it's healthy to get out as soon as possible, but not until you've learned the lesson that you needed to learn from this. Let's make this very clear that I am not victim shaming in any way whatsoever. I absolutely will not tolerate anyone, a therapist or otherwise, say, well, you need to own up to your part in this. A victim is a victim of this abuse, period. But, or I'll say, and you do yourself a service, however, to look at what it is that you need to learn from this experience so that you're better prepared the next time. Because in my own early days of learning about this, I foolishly thought, oh, well, once I figured this out, I'll never have these kind of people in my life again. That is an absolute fallacy. That is not going to happen. You're going to run into them again and again and again and again. And if you can look at it like a gift, okay, what is this here to teach me? Once you figure it out, and then get out as quickly and safely and as unsinged as possible. That's how I choose to look at this now. I may change my mind a month from now. I may have evolved in my own thought process, but as of right now, this is where I'm at. What do I need to learn from this? What wounds do I need to heal? Because the one thing the narcissist is absolutely good at is figuring out where your weaknesses are.
That is true. That is true. They zero right in on that, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And I wonder, the first time that someone finds themselves in themselves in this kind of situation, though, it is so confusing. I know with myself, you know, trying to heal from maternal narcissism abuse, that I had to completely separate myself from the situation in order to focus on it, understand it, and get my head together. Because when being constantly exposed to it plays tricks on your mind. It's very hard for the healthy mind to be able to deal with all the confusion and the chaos that go on around these people. So I don't know that it's necessarily easy to stay in a situation. I do agree, however, that we all have things to learn from this, and there is a great deal that we can learn about ourselves from being exposed to these kind of people. I totally agree with you.
Absolutely. And if you're in a situation with a job where you're being sexually harassed, as I was in my early 40s, or you're being, as a friend of mine who is an advocate for the for Veterans Affairs about workplace bullying, you know, you're being threatened with your life. I have had threats from colleagues at the same place where I was sexually harassed. I had threats about killing myself, that I should just kill myself. I've had all of that happen. And, you know, we're seeing those things now on the news. With the case with the young woman who is being charged now with the young man who did commit suicide after, you know, receiving her text. I mean, this is becoming part of the mainstream, thank God. But I would say in those situations, you absolutely have to leave. It doesn't matter how much money is involved, doesn't matter your health, you cannot heal unless you get out of those situations. What I'm talking about in terms of staying around is you're educated, you know this is going on, you've done the work, gone no contact with the major abusers in your life, and you are now just, you know, an advocate out there in the world with this education, and you're running into narcissists left and right in different areas. And in that case, okay, learn what you need to learn from them by showing up. But you're personally no longer in danger of taking your own life, becoming mentally ill, continuing to be abused. That's what I'm saying by stick around a little bit to find out what you need to learn and leave. Does that make sense?
Right. Right. That makes great sense. That definitely makes great sense. So how do we, you know, can narcissism take down an entire organization?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we see people, CEOs that embezzle funds, take money for services from vendors and use it, you know, misappropriate those funds, use it to buy themselves cars and, you know, a lifestyle and not pay back business partners. I mean, those are the people that you want to extricate yourself from in a business as quickly as possible, because the reality is that's illegal. Someone that has a personality disorder that is running a company and the officers of that company, anyone anywhere near the finances of that company, well, you know what? A judge is not going to listen to someone saying, I didn't know what was going on. If you're an officer of that company and you are hiding the actions of a narcissistic leader or someone who is very dangerously near a personality disordered behavior, you're going to go down with that ship just like the CEO.
That's true. What was I going to say? If you have a narcissistic boss and you are aware of what they're doing and you resist it, doesn't that make things get worse? Because generally, narcissists want to see you. They want to see you squirm. So if they don't make you squirm, doesn't that make it worse on you?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, let's define make you squirm. I mean, there are different ways. They want to make you squirm in ways of that you're afraid to tell them the truth. Anyone that tells them the truth is blasphemous, is, you know, causing huge narcissistic injury. But they're told they're the problem. Their vendors are the problem. The clients are the problem. Everyone is the problem, but the narcissist and the employee has no choice to either believe their boss and stay in cognitive dissonance, even though the reality is they know that they are covering for their boss consistently, which also causes mental illness. Thank you very much. Having to work in that, unless you've got, you know, several narcissists working together and know what they're doing, and we know how that can happen. Narcissists can attract sycophants, other narcissists, sociopaths, and so on, to work with them. And then they're all in conjunction together, working in this toxic environment. And anyone that's going to stand up to the truth in that environment, that is the first person that's going to be blasted and ousted from an organization.
Right. So if you're going to stand up to these people, these toxic, bosses or whatever, you want to do it in a way that's not so confrontational. You just want to you want to know what they're doing and work around it.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes, you know, if it's sexual harassment or it's bullying documentation, which is difficult. Let me tell you how difficult it is to sit and document everything when you are already emotionally and physically exhausted because of the environment that you're working in. And then to have to document everything on top of it, those are situations where you have to sit there and tell yourself, is this worth, you know, the effort? Can I just leave, go to therapy, and work on myself so that when I run into these kind of people again, I put my boundaries up, ahead of time. There's a great article out there. It's called, if anyone can Google it, it's called the Gray Rock Method, and it's a way of dealing with psychopaths and narcissistic personality disorders. And I believe it. A way to deal with them is to make yourself as unshiny as possible, because narcissists look for people that are going to elevate them in some way or another. That's how they get their supply. So as a consultant, I have had many narcissistic business owners come to me wanting my contacts in whatever industry I'm in, wanting my ability to get up on stage and speak confidently in front of anyone, my ability to sell, my ability to do business development. They want all of that for themselves because they can't do it on their own. So they want this from me. and will manipulate and do all kinds of different things that I've had happen in order for me to, you know, give them what I have. And I say that not from an egotistical place. I mean, I've got my faults just like anybody. I'm in therapy just like I should be. But, you know, what narcissistic people and sociopaths and psychopaths want is they want your shine. So one way of dealing with that is to become as boring as possible, to give them flat yes and no answers. To, I had one woman that wanted to take over my entire company. I started telling her, I don't have any money. My company is failing. I don't have any contacts. Everything I've told you is a lie. I don't have any contacts in this business. And I can tell you, she left. She detached. I look at it like a tick. She detached on her own, went off to be disordered elsewhere, and then I found out from the two companies she worked at previously that she almost took those entire organizations down with her behavior. And thank God I had the knowledge that I did to say, I am so unsuccessful, oh, you don't want anything to do with me, so that she would leave me alone.
You know, and for a growing business, people are very vulnerable when they're trying to grow a business and they're trying to, you know, and I think that's probably when they're the most vulnerable, because vulnerable to these narcissists and psychopaths and everything, because they're easily fooled. They want to be successful, and anybody that shows them a little bit of possibility of success, they're gonna cling on to that. And I mean, I know this type of thing has happened with me, you know, in the beginning when I was trying to get a name for myself, and somebody was producing a television show and asked me to be on it and told me that they wanted me to be a part of it. Long story short, I ended up getting sued by this person. They had roped me into something. They thought I was going to propel them into success.
Right.
And got very angry at me and ended up suing me. So, you know, I think we all have experiences with people like this. We just may not attach the word narcissism to it.
Right.
But once we're aware
of what...
That
is exactly what it is, isn't it?
It is. Right. Once we know what it is, once we recognize it, it's so much easier to deal with once you actually identify it.
Let me give your listeners an example just of some small ways that happen in companies that I've seen. Where I had a CEO that I was working with that had this aw shucks, I'm not that brat, I'm just a small town guy sort of attitude, and really, you know, empowered people to want to rescue him constantly, and then, you know, over time dismantled anyone that was trying to rescue them. They became the enemy. So what this person did systematically was set people up, put them on pedestals, told them in private discussions how wonderful they are, how much he cares about them, even being inappropriate emotionally and with sexual overtures, especially with female colleagues and staff, and then behind their back would go to his other employees and talk horrendously awful about the person that he just put up on a pedestal. And this went on with every single staff member. And just details are always important. Let me give you an example of a detail, because this does happen. One of his staff members was having issues breastfeeding her child. He did not know that I was in the room with him while he was talking to another staff member, because she had him on speakerphone, and they started talking about an Irish drink called a buttery nipple. And he went on for about a 10-minute diatribe about how funny it was that maybe this other employee of his should put some of that on her so she didn't have problems feeding her child. Now, had he known that I was on the phone hearing this as his consultant, he would have never made a remark like that. But this was with his other staff member. So this is the kind of, you know, behind-the-scenes behavior that these people do, but the outside face of it is that they are the most wonderful, charitable, giving people that, you know, you could never throw any kind of shame onto. So... It's the behind-the-scenes behavior where covert narcissists especially
set up triangles with their staff so that everyone hates each other, everyone blames each other, he can sit back and laugh knowing that he's caused all this drama because he's bored. This is what psychopaths do. They get bored. They like to destroy people. And then he can sit there and say, I didn't cause any of this. Look at them. You all are the ones that are acting crazy. This is the
right
kind of stuff that goes on in corporations.
I mean, and that's the same dynamic that goes on in personal relationships and in families too.
Absolutely.
This triangulation. But I mean, that's so scary to have that happen in the workplace. So you touched on very, very lightly touched on therapy, you know, leaving these places and getting therapy. What should people do if they're working in this environment and it's really destroying them?
Well, I would say call someone like you first and get some serious help from a someone that is in the mental health profession, whether that be a life coach, a counselor, but not unless you have fully vetted this person and they absolutely understand what narcissistic abuse is.
Right.
There are so many therapists, coaches, do-it-yourself healers out there that absolutely have no knowledge of what this is and are actually causing more stigma and more drama. I myself went through that, going through this process. I was put back probably a good year in my recovery by a well-meaning but totally in the dark person that, you know, they had no idea what narcissistic abuse is. So vet your therapist, whoever that may be. Obviously, no one needs to vet you. This is what you talk about all the time. But you know, if they're in an area where they want to see someone in person or that's covered by their insurance and that's all that they can afford, vet the therapist to make sure that they absolutely know, and even better, that they have been narcissistically abused themselves. Because I'm telling you, if someone hasn't experienced the trauma bonding, that's like Stockholm Syndrome, the cognitive dissonance, the devaluation, all of those things where your brain chemistry is actually changed by being involved with these people, I really don't see how they can offer you any kind of therapy unless they've been through it themselves.
Thank you for saying that. I mean, I always tell people that when they are looking for counseling, because that is so true. No one can understand this if they have not experienced it. All the degrees in the world, the PhDs and the doctorates and, you know, the master's degree, it doesn't matter what you've been taught. If you haven't experienced it, there's no way you can relate to it.
Absolutely. That is, I will say that and can be blasted for that by a PhD all day long, but I will say that to my dying breath. That is, there is no way you could know unless you have experienced it yourself.
Right. And so many people have come to me and said, oh, I went to this counselor and they made me feel guilty. They told me I'm being mean or, you know,
right,
handling this wrong. And that's the last thing we need, is to be victimized more by someone
Absolutely.
That we go that's trying to help us, or, you know, that we want to help us.
Oh, I have heard that too. Stop talking about what happened to you. Let these people off the hook. Haven't they been punished enough? And I'm like, no, this isn't about punishing someone for horrible behavior. This is about helping. This is so much bigger than that at this point. This is not about me getting back at someone who was deplorable to me. That belief system was evolved from a long time ago, and we all deserve to go there, thank you very much, because of how we were treated. But it's far beyond that now. This is about helping everybody else that is going through this every single day, at home, at work, you know, everywhere. That's what this message is about now for me.
Right. And it's such an important message, and I'm right there with you, Kristen. I mean, I know you work tirelessly to get this information out there, and so do I, and it's just so important. I'm glad that we can work together now to reach more people, you know, and get this out there. I just had a situation. My daughter was married on September 26th, and I have no contact with my parents, but I actually had to spend a full weekend with them at this wedding.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it was the true test. It was the true test, and it was very, very weird. I did fine. Didn't really bother me, but their behavior was so odd. And looking at it from the outside in now,
yes.
not being part of it, sometimes I was just disgusted with it. Sometimes I it was just appalling, some of the things that they do. And they weren't doing it to me.
I hear you. In a corporate perspective, I've looked back at some of the even just blog postings from the, you know, the buttery nipple company CEO and the postings on a public corporate website about people calling their boss an angel and part of his harem. And I think, my God, this is, you know, nothing was learned. But that's the thing you have to remember with narcissists is that they, you know, they don't evolve. And so you're right. You do go back to the situations and you look at their behavior and it is disgusting. And you think,
it's repulsive.
So,
yeah.
How did I stay in that? But you know
right.
that you were under their narcissistic voodoo at the time and that's why right. you were there. But
right. It is very disgusting. Their behavior is so despicable. So we're about 35 minutes into the hour, Kristen, and if there's anything that we haven't talked about that you feel is important, or just to talk about your show or the work that you do, I'd like to give you the floor to do that.
Sure. One of the things I would say is, you know, just as many victims and survivors ask, you know, can someone with narcissistic personality disorder be healed? And you know, the answer that you'll hear across the board is no. They cannot be healed. They can certainly learn ways to change and manage their behavior, but the very root of the illness itself is that they don't believe that they have a problem. So usually it's some big life-changing event like a divorce or the loss of a company, the loss of their income that will force them into therapy for a short time. And maybe that sticks with them for a while and maybe it doesn't, but the odds are not great. So if you're hoping, if you're in a situation where you're trying to rescue your boss, you're trying to rescue, your coworker, get out of the business of rescuing. First of all, it's a very egotistical place to live. I myself have fallen into the big enabler's trap of being a rescuer. It's no fun. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help the other person, and it certainly doesn't win you any points with the narcissist. Just leave and work on yourself and work on your issues around enabling people and trying to rescue, businesses, rescue other people, work on rescuing yourself. So that's the last thing I'd point out there. In terms of my work, the company is called Everything EHR, and we work with behavioral health organizations from providers of mental health services to vendors like technology vendors, electronic health care record software vendors that support behavioral health providers. At the end of the day, though, my company is run by me, and I am a patient of mental health services. I'm not a clinician. I have clinicians that work with my company, but I come from the standpoint of the patient. I'm always at the patient's perspective. So if my company provides excellent services to providers and vendors that support providers of behavioral health, my entire mission is about those providers being able to do a better job because they have the right technology in front of them, because who benefits from that at the end of the day? Me, the patient.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, that's very honest, but it's true. You and basically the patient is really who benefits.
Absolutely.
That sounds like it's, yeah, your work is so important, Kristen. And your show, how do people listen to your show?
You can go to mentalhealthnewsradio.com. There's a listing of all of our shows, including the lovely, gorgeous picture of you with the show that you did with
us.
Which I hope there'll be many more with you, I hope.
I would love that. I would love that, yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, we have a lot to say, don't we? We could go on for hours. The show is all volunteer effort. My consulting firm pays for, you know, everything to do with the show, and the guests that we have on are leaders in, everything from, we just had the leading expert on Munchausen syndrome on the show.
Wow.
We've had CEOs of behavioral health organizations, from technology vendors, and we're talking Fortune, 100 companies, to, national consulting firms like MTM Services, which works with National Council for Mental Health. So, we get really great guests because they know what our mission is. And I'd say for anyone that has come to me, which, by the way, it's only been people affected from narcissistic personality disorder that have come to me and said, oh, how awful of you to talk about this horrible subject on your show. You're going to ruin your company by talking about this and aligning it
really?
With your organization. Oh, absolutely. And every time someone says that to me, I think, wow, okay, well, you just told me a heck of a lot about you and who I will not be doing business with. Because it has done nothing but help my company and has done nothing but help me build trust and have relationships. Me being a completely fallible human being that makes plenty of mistakes, believe me, but trying to tell the truth about my own behavior and the people that, that I've done business with as much as possible.
That is so admirable. And your show is not, you don't do them regularly, right? You do them basically occasionally when you have.
I wish I could. We just don't market the show that way. I don't have every Tuesday at, the such and such time because I'm out, flying all over the place. I just don't have time to do that. But what we do is if you follow on Facebook, Everything EHR on Facebook, or you follow us on Twitter, you'll hear, or you just simply, check out mentalhealthnewsradio.com. You can see, actually, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/mentalhealthnews and sign up as a follower. Then that will let you know every time we have a new show posted, but you can also see that on the Facebook page or by going to the website. So we pre-record, then we post the shows, and we do a great job with our social media on, letting everyone know when a show is aired. And even with the lack of regular shows, our show still has incredible numbers. So because of the shows we've done on narcissism, so that says a lot to me about how prevalent this is.
Well, like you said, we could talk about this all day, but I'm kind of running out of time. So I have to say goodbye to you, but hopefully you'll come back and talk more about this topic, and I'll come back on your show, and we can continue educating people on this very, very important subject. So I want to thank you so much, Kristen, for being my guest today. It's been wonderful.
Thank you, Randy, and thank you to your listeners.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So this Friday, which is October 9th, I will be doing my show where I take callers and answer your questions for free about your NPD abuse issues. The number to call is 424-220-1801. Again, this will be October 9th. I do the second Friday of every month from 11 a.m. Eastern Time to 11:45. I hope you will call in and share your issues with us, or even tell us how you've handled things, because many people are listening and it's very, very beneficial to them as well as to you. The other thing is, I hope you will visit my new page on Facebook, Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United. Please follow us and become part of our support system. I can support you. You can support others. So I'm trying to build this page up. I urge you to please come to Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United on Facebook. Also, please visit my website at randygfine.com, Randy, RandyGFine.com. And you can read all the articles I have there, hundreds of articles. It gives you access to every show that I do, links, and pretty much everything that I'm about, you can find there on that website. So please visit, and you can leave me comments there as well. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or, like I said, through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RandyGFine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate. say, but we can't wait to be